thank all of you for coming out this morning. And we greet you in the name of a mighty fine King. One who is God and God all by himself. Does not need us, but we need him. Again, we want to just thank God for Pastor Crosby, First Lady Jan Crosby, and I see the second daughter, Catherine. Amen. We just give God praise for the First Family. And we want to thank God for First Sister Hayes. We give God blessings and praise everyone in their respective places. But we realize that you didn't have to come out this morning, but you did. And we say thank you. Thank you. But truly, God is moving. Listening to some of your prayer requests, just want you to know that God hasn't forgotten you. Just hold fast to his unchanging hand, and he has a way of making ways out of no ways. Continue to trust him for all things. Let us lean not to our understanding, but let us lean on him, believe in him, and know that he has made a promise to us a long time ago. He said, I will be with you always, even until the end of the earth. And then he goes on to say, I will never forsake you, nor leave you alone. Amen. That's a promise, church. So we have something, we can hope. And we have a hope that is valid, a hope that is in Christ Jesus. He's not going to forsake us, nor leave us. Realizing that, thank you, Sister Ann, for the scripture reading. February is said to be Black History Month. But I just want all of you to know that the accomplishments that Black Americans have made, many of those accomplishments would not have been possible if it had not been for our Christian Caucasians that stood in the trenches, worked, and suffered right along with Black America. So let us know that we are all God's children.
Amen.
And this is so. Just because it's Black History Month, I want you to know that Anglo-Saxons, Caucasians, whatever you want to call yourselves, you have something to do with that. And we just say thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
And cry out hallelujah. Give Jesus the highest form of praise because he is worthy to be praised.
Amen.
Out of that 17th chapter, which was read in your hearing, 23rd down to the 28th, but we want to concentrate on the 26 verses out of Acts 17th chapter. As we know, Acts, the author of Acts is Dr. Luke. And we know that Paul was with Luke every now and again. So we know that the book that you've been discussing, that Pastor Cross has been working from, the book of Romans, written by Paul. Therefore, Paul and Luke had a lot in common. In that 26th verse, it reads, and has made of one blood, all nations of men, for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. Our Father, again we come before you, O God, with thanksgiving. We come right now, O God, asking that you bless these, your people, with the blessing that you see they stand in need of. Yes. O God, you have heard the petitions that have gone up to you. And I ask right now that you just bless them, O Heavenly Father. Make them a reality. And then, O God, continue to give all of us our heart desire. Be ever so close to us. Strengthen us, O God. O God, continue to be that perfect peace that passes all understanding for us. And I ask right now, O Heavenly Father, that you hide me behind the cross so that only you can be seen. Speak so loud to these, your people, so that only you can be heard. Speak to me and through me. Then, O Heavenly Father, when we can't come, stand before the living and the dead. Preaching day is going to be over. Singing days are going to be over. Ask that you give us a resting place where we'll be able to praise your name forever. In the precious name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Speaking on from that 26th and 27th verse of the 17th chapter of Acts. We want to talk about everybody's God, somebody, part two. Part one was delivered some time ago. But everybody is God's somebody.
Amen to that.
He has made of one blood all nations for to dwell on all the face of the earth. You see, my friends, we find the Apostle Paul in the metropolitan center of Athens in Greece. He's preaching the gospel, and this is his chance now to use his training in Greek language and philosophy, stretched out on what Gamaliel, his teacher, had taught him. You see, Athens was the educational and cultural center of the world. Philosophers would pace up and down the Lyceum and ponder the most profound questions about life and death, time and eternity, knowledge and feelings, the real and the imaginary. Here Socrates had taught Plato. Plato had taught Aristotle. Aristotle had taught Alexander the Great. But now Athens is visited by a Jewish tent maker from Tarsus, short in stature, bald-headed, and a Roman citizen preaching that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation. See, my friends, there were all sort of groups in Athens. There were the Stoics, there were the Epicureans and the Hedonists, believers in all sorts of nature gods. So Paul reminded them that they had a town full of gods and goddesses, but he didn't come to tell them that. He just came to tell them that there was but one God who had made the world and all that's in it. Told them that God didn't live in temples made with hands, and he doesn't need any idols carved in his honor. Doesn't need anything. God has made of one blood all men to dwell on the face of the earth. Paul informed the Athenians that he didn't come to organize a small following. He only came to tell them that the whole human race was one, that one God had made all people, and that in Christ God was and is still bringing this whole human family to a knowledge of himself. In other words, in Christ, everybody is God's somebody.
Amen.
The truth is that no matter how poorly we as Christians have shown love and brightness, the outstanding feature of the life and teaching of Christ is that he reached beyond his own people and shed abroad the love of God in the lives of all people. Jesus treated all persons as though they were all God's children. Well, you see, God has no favorites. He loves you and he loves me. In spite of, because we haven't done everything he wanted us to do. We haven't gone every place he wanted us to go. Yes, we've said some things that we should not have said, but in spite of all, God's grace and God's mercy is there for you and me. You see, we are all his children, and he sent Christ to save us all. This is what makes Christianity available to everybody. Oh, yes, Christianity has been criticized because of the failure of individual Christians. Not all. There may be a lot wrong with some of us, but there's nothing wrong with Christianity. Oh, it can pass any test, for there's abundant evidence that the principles of morality and ethics and the human relations that are found in Jesus' teachings meet the test of the highest scrutiny from the secular points of view. Jesus's ideas about human development are compatible with the most widely accepted ideas of modern psychology. You see, his view of the worth of persons is the cornerstone of our modern democracy. If this world needs anything this morning, it is a wider acceptance, a more faithful practice of, and a deeper commitment to those ideas and ideals as set forth by that marvelous preacher and teacher and healer from Galilee, yes, whom we know to be the Son of the living God. Jesus not only taught these concepts, but he lived them. Stretched out his arms to the people of all nations and all backgrounds. Healed a woman's daughter of an ailment which had been described possession by the devil. Woman was a Greek from Syro-Phoenicia. He healed 10 lepers one day, and one of them was from Samaria. He was in Capernaum on one occasion when a Roman captive came and told of a servant in his household who was sick. And when Jesus saw that this foreigner had faith in God, he went with him to the house to heal his servant. Was a man for all people. No wonder that when he was sentenced to die, the cross that prepared for him was carried by a black man named Simon from Cyrene. Paul's faithful helper, young Timothy, was half Jew and half Greek. Christ tore down the walls, ignored our tribal habits, and he celebrated the dignity of all persons in the sight of God. For in Christ, everybody is somebody.
Amen.
Oh, and Paul was only following the example of Christ when he said, God has made of one blood all nations. That was the theme of his great sermon out on Mars Hill. But now, in further witness of what Christ teaches, there is the obvious physical kinship that all men are made of one blood. Great contribution of the black medical expert Dr. Charles Drew was the proof to the world that except for blood types that all races have in common, human blood is the same. Dr. Drew pioneered in taking ordinary blood from anyone and dehydrating it. Oh, he made it into squares like yeast cakes, and on the battlefields it was liquefied again and given to anybody whose life was dependent on a new blood supply. Blood from poor donors in endangered ghettos could save lives just as well as blood from Buckingham Palace. Have mercy, my Lord. Oh, we are all children of one Father. We have the same needs and drives and urges, same hungers and the same cravings. All people want security. All people want to be appreciated. One reason that we as a people have clung so dearly to Jesus despite the apostasy and the failure of Christian expectations of one another through colonialism and rank racism is that blacks have found in Jesus have to be real. Oh, he, not only blacks know that he's real, but whites know that he's real too. He's real within our souls. Why, in truth, we are one human family. Everybody's God somebody. Oh, we all should have a God hunger, a need to know the Creator. We should need to know the Father of all humankind, the grand architect of the universe, the Spirit of the living God, of all the ways in which our common humanity is manifest. Our common need is to know God is the strongest evidence of our kinship. Oh, my friends, we need to know this morning that we need to just know that God is not going to leave us. And he loves us. And we are kin by blood. We are God's children. Church people far too long committed the grievous sin of being comfortable while dignity was being stripped from God's children. Why, in God's sight, we are all equal. We as church folk must convince our young people that no matter how society perceives them or treats them, they are still God's precious children. Oh, we must convince them that they are loved with an infinite love, and that when Jesus went to his cross, it was for the oppressed and forgotten people of the whole world. Yes. Thank God some of us know this. Everybody's God somebody. God has made of one blood all nations. The mute persistent condition that underlies high crime statistics and the drug culture is nothing more than self-rejection. Several generations of African Americans have suffered constant insults and abuse. Oh, why? It was intended, abuse was intended to destroy pride and self-respect, but someone prayed. While they prayed, God shield them with a wall of fire by night and a cloud by day. We as Christians cannot accept injustices inflicted on others, and we will not participate in the infliction of such injustices ourselves. Oh, we should become sensitive to our own involvement in injustice, whether direct or indirect, my friends. Oh, we should cultivate a righteous attitude and a belief at the sight of any action that denies persons their God-given dignity and worth. Why? For an injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. Oh, years ago, the last 60 years, America developed a raised conscience on the subject of injustice. The Supreme Court led the way with the 1954 school desegregation decision. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. stirred up further concern with his crusades. Students added more impetus with their sit-in movement, and their university students revolted against the Vietnam involvement of our country. Yes, and in the wake of these movements, a 20th century reconstruction occurred. Laws were passed in rapid succession. Leadership of Congressman Adam Clayton Powell and many others Oh, our white brothers and sisters stood in their trenches alongside, and we just say thank you to refine the intention of the Constitution and to reaffirm the sublime promises of the Declaration of Independence. But yes, in the 1990s, 30 years later, 22,000, 40 years later, a new feeling has come into being, supported by a strange view of Christianity that ignores the equality of persons before God and that treats with contempt all nations of fairness and equality. A coalition of super rich reactionaries, convenient evangelists, segregationists, anti-Semitists, anti-blacks, anti-poor, anti-woman, anti-weak, anti-powerless, old-fashioned bigots have conspired to undo all of the gains that are made prior to what we used to go through before the Civil Rights era. But it will not be easy. Too many people have found out that everybody is God's somebody. It is obvious to everyone that these are not the best days for the cause of justice in America even now. But the idea of justice is here and it's more powerful than marching armies. People can destroy affirmative action, but they cannot stifle that sense of worth that has been discovered and let loose among oppressed people. It is an idea whose time is here, and I know I'm right about it because God himself saw fit to give America its first African-American president on January 20th, 2009. Oh, my friends, founded my brothers and sisters, when we believe that God has made us all of one blood, that belief becomes the foundation for the building of a true, genuine, and lasting community among all people. Yes. One that rises above race and clan, one that extends beyond tongue and nation, or one that embraces the whole human family, black, white, brown, all of us. Such a community comes about in the hearts and the minds of persons and cannot be created by the government, cannot be established by the state, or denied by the state. It's charter with what Paul proclaimed in Athens a long time ago. God has made of one blood all nations. And we as Christians, regardless of our denominations, our church status, should have only one conviction, Pastor Crosby, and that is we have a common Father, and that our fellowship is the outgrowth of our faith in Jesus, the one from Galilee. Thank God also that our fellowship can become the nucleus of a wider and a richer and a deeper community among all people, regardless of our race, regardless of our gender, Sister Hay. Oh, or regardless of our national origin. Now, my friends, the Christian community some years ago should have held its head in shame when a so-called Christian university wanted to keep federal dollars while it violated the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. It violated the Declaration of Independence, the teachings of Christ, the strong message of the prophets, the Supreme Court decision, oh, by practicing racial separation in the name of Jesus. Oh, my friends, what a denial of Christ. Talking love, but they were spewing hatred. Oh, whenever we see this kind of behavior, it becomes urgent. It becomes urgent, my friends, that we proclaim to a dying world that God has made of one blood all nations. And now, as I come to a close, let be it known that a new world is waiting out here to be ushered in. Oh, there's a new condition among men and women waiting to be pierced the gray clouds of our greed, our hate, our narrow nationalism, our childish preoccupation with our own importance. God has something better to offer us that will make racism, that will make war, that will make nuclear stockpiling look like a nightmare, but we must begin where Paul began, proclaiming the truth of Jesus Christ. For God has made of one blood all nations. And from this important doctrine, we then rebuild our attitudes. We redesign our strategies. We redefine our goals and reorder our priorities to conform to the will of God. And that is to love ye one another as Christ has first loved us. Amen. Then it'll start making sense to you to beat your swords into plowshares and have your spears into pruning hooks. Then will we understand why starving children everywhere should be fed. Then it'll become a pure delight to see the walls of racism and the doors of bigotry come tumbling down and be replaced with an oasis of opportunity, and righteousness will rise among us. Then will justice run down as many water, and righteousness will flow like a mighty stream. For we are all God's children this morning, and we are God's somebody, my beloved. God has made of us one blood, one nation, and one blood, and he cares for us all. Then we can relate with the hymn writer when he says, come ye that love the Lord, and let your joys be known. Join in a song of sweet accord, and thus around the throne. Say, let those refuse to sing who never knew our God, the children, children of the heavenly King, may speak their joys abroad. Oh, my friend. God loves you, and he's not going to forsake you. He's going to be with you always, even until the end of the world, because he has made all of us one blood, one nation, through one blood. We just have to just cry out, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I will trust in the Lord.
Oh,
Crosby. Pastor Crosby, you know Pastor Crosby. Oh, Pastor Crosby got to forget it.
Geneva, in the sight of all these folks here in church, you prepared to walk down a path with me towards Christ as your Lord and Savior. We've got some time to spend with each other, with the Lord. But Lord willing, we'll invite all these people back to go with us down to the river. Oh, we praise you for walking down this road with me.
Amen. 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 Amen.
Ladies and gentlemen, with Geneva making a commitment to walk down this road, she is not making that commitment simply with God and herself. She's making it as part of fellowship with this body of believers.
All right.
And that means it is on all of us to put our arms around her and walk with her.
Yes.
And so please take that seriously in your heart and stay tuned, because this is a beautiful beginning.
Yes.
Amen. 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 Amen.